Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give also your coat. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Are you with me? That doesn't make any sense. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. That still makes no sense. Verse 43, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Doesn't make any sense. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain out on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do as much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you speak to us today. Lord, I pray that you give us your nuggets. Give us your truth. Lord, I pray that we open up our hearts right now. Lord, that we permit you to work in our hearts because we have thoughts and we have feelings in the life that we're going through and towards people around us. And I pray, Lord, that you're able to soften our hearts and speak to us, Lord, this day we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever cracked open the Word, started reading this thing, and you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. The kids are, their coloring page is Noah's Ark. He's in the middle of a field building a boat. God, what do you want me to do? I want you to build me a boat. What's a boat? Oh, it floats on water. Oh, where do we want me to put it? In the middle of dry land. It doesn't make any sense, God. Over and over again, there are things in here that we read that are hard to understand, hard to comprehend, that make absolutely no sense. But the real question is, does it not make sense? Or you? Let's look at your life for a moment. We all make sure that our kids put our seatbelts on when they get in the car, right? But if you put about 50 of them on a bus, they're okay. Right? That doesn't make any sense. And we grade them in school by A, B, C, D, and F. What happened to E? That doesn't make any sense. We put round pizzas in square boxes and cut them into triangles. Who came up with that? Here's the one that really bothers me. Chicken fingers. How many kids like chicken fingers? Chickens don't have fingers. And if they did, would you really eat their fingers? And yet we call them chicken fingers and we love to eat them. That doesn't make any sense. We park on driveways and we drive on parkways. When I transport something by car, it's called a shipment. When I transport something by ship, it's called cargo. It doesn't make any sense. Why do women... Oh, you know the rest of that one. Think about it. Your life doesn't make any sense. The things we say, the things we do, if we really dug into it, if we read your life like a book, how much would I be laughing at you? That doesn't make it. You did what? Why did you, huh? Your life doesn't make any sense. And yet we go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, you don't make any sense. But it should. Jesus' walk, Jesus' life, that's what should make sense. But we look at this and we go, well, that's too hard. That principle, it's too difficult. And some of us, with a little bit of faith, sometimes we've taken some things in this and go, okay, God, I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to try that. And then it blows up in our face and we go, that's it. I'm never going to do that again. See, God, it failed. that opportunity, that door you wanted me to walk through, I'm never doing that again because it's too hard. I did something about a month ago that I've never done before. My wife, bless her soul, is very diligent in giving blood. She's been doing that for a long time. She's been in some situations where she's received some blood. And so she has great value in that, and I've had that as well. And the first time when we were young and married, that she gave blood, she said, "Do you want to come give blood with me?" And I said, it's well documented, right, with me and medical procedures. No, thank you. But I did say, but maybe someday. Because I see value in that. You know, the giving of blood. I see great value in that. But how you do it, that I have a struggle with. And so the next time she signed up to give blood, she'd ask, "Hey, I'm going to give blood. Would you like to give blood?" And she always asked, every time. And every time I say, "Thank you, but not this time. I've been doing that for 20 years. And she keeps asking, and she never puts me down. She never criticizes me. She knows it's someday. So about 2 months ago, she said, "Well, they're doing a blood drive here in town. I'm going to give blood. Do you want me to sign you up?" I don't even know what blood type I am because I just don't know. I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? Yes, sign me up. I'm going to do this. So she smiled, and she signed me up. So let's do a little wager. An over-under of 4.5. We got 7 days of the week. Leading up to that date, what do you think? The over, the under of how many days a week I thought about this date that was coming up. Greater than 4.5 or less than 4.5? 7. Every day I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to give blood. And the day finally came, and I cleared my schedule the rest of the day because I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. I was dreading this day. And I go in and I get to the door and they slap on this green sticker. Everyone else has a red sticker. Why do I have a green sticker? Because I'm the new guy. Look at me. And you fill out some paperwork and then I sit down next to this nurse and she saw the sticker. And I think she was trying to put me at ease, but her sense of humor wasn't as good as mine. And I was like, I'm ready to walk out this door. You know, she wasn't putting me at ease. And then I had to fill out some stuff on the computer. And then another nurse, before she was done, before I filled this out, I had a sweatshirt on. And she said, "Let me see your arms." And she looks at the right and goes, "Oh, yeah, yep, that'll work." So then I fill out this paperwork, and this other nurse comes around, and he wraps things up, and he says, "Are you left-handed or right-handed?" I said, I'm right-handed. "Okay, let's go with the left arm." And I wasn't going to challenge it because I don't know. And so he indicates to another nurse who's over by the beds because they have to flip the beds around based upon the side that they're going to take and draw blood. And so he indicates the left arm. She sets it up. And I go over there and I sit down and remove my sweatshirt. And this nurse was great. She put me at ease and she was walking me through everything. We had a good conversation. And then she looks at my arm and she starts tapping the arm. Tapping the arm, and it's not working. So then she puts a strap around my arm, and she's tapping. And then she gets that blood pressure thing and puts it on. And then she's tapping, and she stops, and she calls over the head nurse. And the head nurse comes over here and starts a conversation as she's talking, you know. And I'm just sitting there, eyeballs ready to pop out of my head, and she stops, and she starts tapping. And then she rotates the arm and says, "Oh, that one out there, you can do that." And my nurse goes, "Are you sure?" "Oh, yeah, I do those all the time. You know, you might not have done it, but that's a good one right there." Okay, and then they mark it, and then poof, I was feeling some pressure. And so then she's kind of prepping all these bags because it's not a bag. It's like 12 of them, you know. Like how much is in me? And then they got to take vials and stuff. I'm loving this. And I'm okay around blood. I'm just uncomfortable, and so I don't pass out or anything. But when that moment was coming, I'll look over here at the they had a food table, and so I was just looking at the stuff that I wanted, and then came the poke, and it was uncomfortable, and then it felt like a little extra uncomfortableness, and then she calls the nurse over, And the nurse comes over, and I feel like, I don't know if it poked again or what. I'm just like, okay, this is lasting too long. And then all of a sudden, the pain was gone, and she said, hold this. And I reached over, and I put my hand on something, and there was nothing in my arm. The head nurse walked away, and the other nurse, she's sitting there, and she's wrapping things up. And I'm going, did I just give, you know, all my blood? That wasn't too bad. I said, what happened? And she said, well, we weren't able to find the vein. And she looked kind of like sullen, like, and I'm sitting there going, okay. And so I said, so are you going to try the other side? And she says, oh, that's only if you permit us to. So they must have hit some sort of protocol that if they don't find it on the first try, they're done. And she kept on working there, and I'm sitting there in this crossroads, in this dilemma. And I'll tell you where my eyes were, not on the food table, but on the door that I walked through. For 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I did not want to walk through that door. It took all I had to go through that door and to sit on that table, to go through that. And now they're giving me a get-out-of-jail-free card. They're permitting me to walk out the door, and I didn't have to go through the whole procedure. What do I want to do? I want to run. But the Lord spoke to me right then, that or my own conscience. To Jason, if you walk out that door, you will never go through that door again. You will never volunteer to say, hey, I want to give blood again. And there I was in that dilemma. What do I do? I knew that if I bailed now, if I didn't give it another try, I'll never do this again. It will be a vow within me. How many vows have you made in your life and you don't realize it? And so she came back and she said, so what do you want to do? I said, well, I'm willing to give it another shot. But I know you guys had concerns over here trying to find a vein. If you look at the other side and it's just as difficult, I don't want to go through this. But if it looks better, if you're confident about it, I'd give it a shot. And she said, that's fair. Let's do that. So she had to kind of get some more bags, line them all up and vials and stuff like that. And then I had to stand up and they had to flip the bed around. And I sat down and I take my sweatshirt off on the other side. And she goes, oh, we should have started there. I gave blood for the first time. Are you willing to give blood? Are you willing to give blood for Jesus? Because he gave blood for you. And he didn't give a pint. He gave it all. But we look at it and go, that doesn't make sense. Why should I do that? That's hard. That's difficult. I don't want to walk through that door, God. That is too hard for me. Yeah, is it? Try hanging on a cross. And he did that, even though he did nothing wrong. And God just simply wants us to challenge us to go through a door that makes no sense to us. But on the other side, if you could just go through it, there are rewards, there are blessings. And then he wraps in, right, the gut punch is in the middle of this reading in verse 47. How are you different from anyone else? Church, how are you different from anyone else? When someone hits you, what do you do? When someone takes from you, what do you do? When someone puts you down, what do you do? When someone demands from you, what do you do? How are you different from anyone else on this earth? You're not. Why? Because what God wants you to do doesn't make any sense. Or, God, that's just too hard. That's too difficult. And now in our immortal words, Bob Newhart, stop it. Church, just stop it. Start listening to God and be obedient. It might not make sense. It might be too hard. But we have to walk through that door and see what's on the other side. So let's tear into this scripture a little bit. Let's look at it a little closer. And I guess you could probably call this section the you're doing it wrong section, as Jesus relays to us how we're doing things wrong. The first thing he says is, do not resist an evil person. And to resist means to oppose. Don't oppose an evil person. This is hard, especially for any of you 2Aers out there, Second Amendment people, right? You're not supposed to resist the enemy, an evil one. And sometimes that's hard to take, because now you start thinking about what a Christian should be like. And you have a concept in your mind that Christians should be soft, that Christians should allow people to walk all over us, that Christians are weak, they have no backbone. And for some reason, that doesn't settle in your spirit. You're like, ah, God, I can't take that one. But I tend to think we have that concept wrong as well. And I think Jesus even addressed it. Jesus goes on from here and says, if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn to the left also. Stephen, would you come up here? I brought my son up on the first one. Let him have it. So here's the description. It says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek. Okay, in cultural, in this time, whether you're right or left-handed, you're left-handed, aren't you? No. You do it all. In this cultural time, you do everything with your right hand except one thing. Your left hand you use for cleaning. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. So we don't use his hand for anything. We always do everything with our right hand, okay? If someone slaps you on the right cheek, which one is your right cheek? It took you a second there, didn't it? I'm going to do everything with my right hand. How do I slap him with this hand on that side? It's a backhand. What is this a symbol of? Your culture, we should understand, what does this say when I backhand? What would you think? It means I'm the master, you're the slave. I'm the adult, you're the child. I'm over you, I'm superior. I'm insulting you, I'm putting you beneath me. That's the imagery of this. And we Christians say, okay, hit me again, I'm beneath you. That's not true. Because it goes on to say, turn to them the other cheek. So turn your face the other way, okay? So there's his left cheek. How do I slap that? It's either got to be now open hand, which is different, or it's a fist. If I go with a fist to his left cheek, now what sort of symbol are we showing? What do you see? What he would be saying to me is, no, I'm going to take it like a man. No, I'm not beneath you. We are equals. You're not master over me. We're contemporaries. We're on the same level. And so, yeah, hit me. But hit me as an equal. Don't walk all over me. Thank you. We have this wrong concept that Christians are supposed to be weak and beaten up on. But what Jesus is saying, don't walk around as a lesser. Walk around at an even plane as everyone else. Don't oppose them in kind. Don't do what they do. Don't treat them as they treat you. Don't punch back, but don't let them walk all over you. Do something different. Do something that doesn't make any sense. And this is where, if I'm in that situation, my natural sarcasm comes out. And if someone were to strike me, I'd probably go, bless you, my son. Because if we do something not the way the world teaches, people have to hesitate for a second, like, what are you doing? You want me to punch you on the right cheek? That doesn't make sense. Exactly. Is there any other way to respond to others other than the way the world teaches you? Is there any other way to respond other than the way the world teaches you? And it's a resounding yes. You just haven't looked for it. Why? Because it's too hard, or it doesn't make any sense the way God wants you to respond to others. And Jesus says, give them your shirt and your coat. Most of us, we don't even want to give them our shirt in the first place. Even if the judge says you have to give it to him, we're like, and then Jesus says, oh, and give them your coat. Which one's more expensive, the shirt or the coat? The coat. You're supposed to give more? Why? Because it doesn't make any sense. It was either my first or second year as camp director at Bible camp, which is in a couple of weeks, and I'm not worried about it at all. There was two young men that came. They weren't really a part of one of the other churches. They were kind of friends of friends. And they, from the get-go, were causing some trouble. And the first day, the security had to kind of deal with them on something. The second day during the day, they did it again. And it got kind of worse into the afternoon. So in the evenings, the evening session is going on. And that pedal, fixing that keyboard pedal, wow, it took a lot of time here. I got to keep this fast. In the evening session, worship is going on. And I had been talking to the security head, and we agreed that we're running out of options. And so he was a pastor, the head of security. And he was going to just talk with them, check with them, see if there was any options. And we knew that if it didn't lead anywhere, he was going to send them over to me, and I was going to have that final conversation. These kids had to go home. And so it didn't go well there, so they came over, and I'm sitting on a bench outside as worship is going on. And they're standing there, and the alpha, the main guy, he's kind of just pacing. And I'm like, what's going on, guys? What's wrong? You know, what don't you like? And they made a laundry list of all sorts of things that they didn't like. I said, well, is there anything that you like? Anything good? And they're like, well, we like playing basketball. Oh, but there's no good competition. And so I keep asking questions, and I even get the feeling they just want to leave too. And again, he's just pacing around, and at some point he's like, I just want to hit something. Is there anything I can hit? Do you have like boxing gloves that I can go punch something? And again, I was sitting down, and I stood up, and I walked up to him, and I looked at him just about a foot away. I said, you want to hit me? Why don't you punch me? And all of a sudden he went, oh. There was a change. All of a sudden he was deflated. Like he wasn't ready for that response. And he says, no, I didn't mean that. And it occurred to me, these guys just needed to let off some steam. I couldn't talk to them because they were just all rage. I'm looking at my watch, and I'm supposed to be in there, camp director. I said, tell you what, guys, why don't we go play some basketball? What, now? Yeah, let's go play some basketball. Oh, okay. And they start walking. We walk across the street, and we're walking by the other building where kids' camp is going on. And just then, kids' camp is letting out, and out comes a leader. His name is Jason as well. And I walk by him because I'm going doing the math. There's two of them, one of me. Well, it's me. But I'm like, hey, Jason, I need a wingman. He's like, yeah, I'm there. And so we're walking, and the two guys are running up to their dorm room because they're going to get their sneakers and their knee brace and stuff. And I'm in my Sunday best. I'm in my dress shoes. Oh, boy. And Jason, so what's going on? I said, a couple of knuckleheads need to let off some steam. But I think God's working on them. He's like, all right. That's all he needed to hear. I was blessed by Jason. So they come back, and we play some basketball. And I'd like to say I dominated. I hadn't played in a while. And again, I was at a disadvantage. I was in jeans and stuff. And they were beating us pretty good. I've never prayed so hard in my life. And we ended up beating them. And we were down and we were chatting. And I was asking them a few more questions. And revelation started to come to them. They started to kind of understand what was going on. And all of a sudden, one of them, he was just looking at me. And all of a sudden, his eyes went wide. He's like, you're the director. Aren't you supposed to be in there right now? I'm like, yeah. That's where I'm supposed to be, but I'm here with you. You got to go, man. I said, if I need to be with you, I'll be with you. No. And he literally pushed me. You get going. And I said, all right. And I looked at Jason, and he's like, yeah, that's fine. And I left. And the next day I saw Jason, and I said, thanks for helping me out last night. And he says, you don't know the rest of the story. He said, I started asking questions. We kind of sat down at half court there, started asking him some questions. And the kid's story, he didn't know it was pretty much my story. And so I began to give him my testimony. And I told them how Jesus changed my life. And these two boys gave their heart to the Lord at half court. How did that start? I looked at a kid and said, do you want to hit me? Why don't you punch me? That doesn't make sense. Not in this brain. But to God, it's the word that has to be spoken. And yet we don't want to speak it because it doesn't make sense. It's too complicated. It's difficult. Jesus doesn't make sense. This is the guy, oh, you're blind? Ugh. He spits in the dirt. He makes mud and he puts it on his eyes. This is a guy, he wanted to go for a walk on water. That doesn't make sense. They were hungry. And he had 2 loaves and a fish. And he feeds 5,000 people. That doesn't make sense. Jesus doesn't make sense, but that's what he wants you to do. Or is it that Jesus, it's not that Jesus doesn't make sense. You don't make sense. You're doing it wrong. Your life, it doesn't make sense. And yet you keep doing the same things over and over again. That same coworker that berates you, that comes at you all the time, and you keep doing the same thing. Or maybe you've tried a few different things, but you haven't tried it God's way. And when it failed the first time, and you're like, see, God, I tried it your way, and you walk out the door, God says, no, try it again. You need to beat this person over the head with love over and over. Is it that God that doesn't make sense, or you don't make any sense? He walks by the Spirit. You walk by flesh. If a soldier says, carry this a mile, so the Romans were over the Jewish people, and their law was if they were going someplace and they had stuff, they could point out a Jew and say, take my stuff. You'd walk a mile. At the end of it, they would not say thank you, but they'd take the stuff, and so you're dismissed. And Jesus is saying, tell them, hey, no. Can I go another mile for you? And what's he going to say? Oh, no, I don't want to put you at, you know, into some extra work here. No, they'll be like, yeah, sure. And now you're walking, and what's that soldier thinking about? Why are you still here? And as soon as they ask that question, you got them. You got them right where you want them, and you can testify. Church, go the extra mile, because people don't expect it. It doesn't make any sense, and then you can speak to them sense. Jesus Christ. Give, and then give more. Anybody here ever need water? Next week, if you need water, bring a bucket. I live on a lake. I have endless supply of water. It never runs out. You need water, I got water. If you need it, I'm not going to back down because, hey, I've got a supply. That should be our concept with God, and yet it's not. Oh, here's someone in need, and we pull out our wallet, and we go, oh, that's my last dollar. I can't give that. Someone who needs some help, I'm busy. I'm really busy. We feel like we're running out, and God is up there doing the holy hand to the forehead. You're running out of what? I am an endless supply. That's not your last dollar. Here, no, I'll show you the app on my phone. See my bank account? It's at $1. And God says, stop it. I am an endless supply. Why do you act like you're limited? If you're obedient to me, you are unlimited. Oh, I know, God, but stop it. Give and give more. You cannot outgive God because he's the one that has the stuff. And then he says, love your enemies. God, this is really hard stuff. But I'll give you a tip. Do you want to know how to destroy your enemies? And no, this isn't going to be a Star Wars reference. Turn them into friends. That's how you get rid of your enemies, by flipping them over to friends. That's how you get rid of people that you have a hard time with. You go to them and say, I'm sorry. You go to them and say, I want to work on this. Turn your enemies into friends. I've told the story before, middle school. There was a kid who beat me up, shoved me on the ground, kicked me in the face, and he'd do it over and over. 6, 7 years later, he's standing up in my wedding as one of my groomsmen. Why? Because I turned an enemy into a friend. I loved on him. God was doing a work in his heart already. He just needed me to come along and give it that last little push. Love your enemies. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. No, hear me. Hating people doesn't make any sense. And yet it's in your heart. Stop it. Love your enemies. If I started rattling some names off and something in you went, ah, when I said a certain person's name, there's something wrong with you. Sorry. I believe, I don't know if it's true, but I don't think God has any enemies. Because the Bible tells us He loves us all the same. He makes it rain on everybody. He gives sunlight to everybody. He gives and gives and gives. But what do you do? What do? We withhold. We withhold money, resources, time, kindness, love. Oh, I've got lots of love, but I ain't giving it to you until you treat me differently. We have forgiveness. Oh, but I'm not giving it to you until you forgive me first. Church, you don't make any sense. But God does. His ways make sense. We need to do this differently because it's destroying us. Our conclusion we can just take right out of the scripture, starting in verse 45. In that way, you will be acting like true children. Huh, what's that, God? That's a good conversation to have with God. Are you a true child of God? A true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. And those were the worst of the worst of the worst in this time. You're just like them. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Church, you're just like the pagans. If you only give love to those that are your friends. But you are to be perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's hard to be perfect. And yet that's what we're called to be. It's hard to do things that don't make sense. It's hard to do things that are hard. Next time I go for blood, I get a different sticker. Because I did it. And I also found out what type of blood I have. A plus. Perfect. No, I did not. I have perfect blood in me. Do you know where it comes from? Jesus. Do you have perfect blood going through your veins? You need to give blood. Oh, but I can't. Oh, yes, you can, because you have an endless supply of perfect blood. Oh, but that's my life. Exactly. But you're unwilling. You're stubborn. And you keep doing things the same way, expecting different results. Insanity. Church, give blood. Give your life to other people. And I know what's on the other side of that door. A sticker. And food. Refreshing. Refreshments. God's love. Some of you have been unwilling to sit in that chair and say, God, take whatever you want. But I know that I know that I know that I know that if you do that, and I challenge you, pick somebody right now, that person that's just a pebble in your shoe, and love on them. Walk up to them tomorrow and say, hey, you want to punch me? Do something different. Stop doing the things you've always been doing because it's not working. And it will not until the day comes where you perfectly submit and give your all. You give blood, give your life and say, God, even if you don't make sense, I'm going to be obedient to you. Let's pray. Father, you know, I like math. I'm good at math. And I add up the equation of situations and I come up with my own outcome. But Lord, sometimes to you, 2 + 1 = 9. It doesn't make any sense. But God, I want to go with your calculations and not mine. Because if it's 2 + 1, you're going to find the other 6. Because you are unlimited. Somehow it's all going to add up when you add your part to my part. God, I pray you speak to our hearts and start looking at the areas in our life that don't make any sense. But Lord, you've challenged me over and over again. The crazier the thought that you drop in my mind, the more I start to think that's God talking. God, you're crazy, and I love it. Lord, show me crazy in my life so that the world can see I'm different because Jesus is in me. And let the world ask questions. Why are you like this? You're in the face of this relationship problem, this financial problem, this health problem, and yet there you are, smiling with joy. Why? Well, that's when we can testify. God, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. This could be my last message. But I want to give it with all my heart. And the rest of this day, Lord, I want to be obedient in everything I do. I have no guarantees other than a reward in heaven when I'm obedient to you. So, Lord, we turn to you. Lead us. Help us. Guide us. And, Lord, bring on the wacky. Bring on the crazy. Bring it on. Because we want to show this world what it's like to be full of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Son and the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood and the giant needle they stuck in the side and he poured out every last drop for us. Lord, today we're going to choose to walk through that door and give whatever it is you ask us to give. Because we love you and we want the world to know you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.